Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
I am glad to be here tonight. It's always a real special thing to get to come be with Graymeer. When you get old, you can't see either. Thank you, Andrew. I'm grateful to Andrew for relinquishing his time tonight to let me talk to you a little bit about the work in India. And also grateful to Jack. Jack had a lot of songs picked out, good songs, and he even gave me some of his time tonight as we were worshiping in song. And obviously I'm very thankful to the elders for the opportunity to continue to work with you in this respect. When the Apostle Paul and Barnabas came back from their missionary journey, you read in Acts that they came back to the church at Antioch that had sent them out to report to the church. I think that's an extremely important thing. Anytime any of us go in other parts of the world, supported by this congregation, to let you know what's going on there. And I think how the Lord has blessed the work in various places. I appreciate the work that Jonathan and Bolin have been doing in Jonathan and Matt have been doing in India. And there are several in the congregation who over the years, like George Brazelton and Fred Porter and others, who have gone to India. Continue to be very grateful to Dr. Willie Robinson, who was the man who suggested that Graymeer get involved in the work in India. And also Charles Thigpen. I think most of you know that Charles is suffering with Alzheimer's now and really is not able to go back, but he did a lot of good work in India over the years. So tonight, I just want to share with you some of what's going on. I truly feel inadequate. There's so much good going on among our brethren in India and the work that you as a congregation are supporting, making possible. It's rather difficult to really show what's going on. We left on a cold, cold morning, snow on the ground covering the plane. When I sat down to look out the window, that's what I saw. So we started out on an extremely cold time, but very quickly we got above the clouds and got out of that. These are this is the group of us who went on this particular trip. Sister Linda Smith from Woodson Chapel, she and her husband Waylon are here tonight, and Linda has done so much to help the work in India. And then Brother Dennis Wider, he's an elder of the church near Searcy, Arkansas. Ball Knob, Arkansas is the place, and really did a tremendous work in teaching classes to the brethren over there on the eldership, as well as many other things. So that was our group. And I'm also glad that Sister Jackie Hill and Jim, her husband, are here tonight, as well as Linda and Waylon, because she too has done a lot of good work in India. On the first Sunday I was there, we went to a place called Chingalpet. Some of you may remember over the years that this little preacher is the man who had polio as a child and has a rope running down the inside of his pants leg, puts his hand in his pocket and pulls on that rope, and that's the way he lifts his leg and is able to walk. We've worked with him for many years. As the service began, the scripture reading. I've never been in a situation exactly like this, but the man who read the scriptures was reading from Braille. He was blind, but he was very articulate and read the scriptures well, and it was just a joy to hear that. You can see his fingers, they were moving rapidly across the page as he read the scriptures that morning. Had a good gathering that morning for the worship. I'll probably go through these rather rapidly because there are several of them. We came back Sunday night and preached for the church in Sinagar, a very large congregation. Hilda had suggested that I try to include a few pictures of just everyday life in India, what's going on, and you do see all kinds of transportation in India. And I put this picture in just to show the difference in the clothing. The little children wear Western clothing for the most part. But in that picture, you'll see men in the white, native Indian garb. You see a man, well, there on the left, a man on the right in Western clothing. You see the women, and most of the grown women do wear the saris. But up to a point, the children wear Western clothes like that little girl on her way to school is doing. And always the buses are fascinating. How many people can you get on a bus in India? One more. Always one more. They may be on the roof, but there's one more. It's just an amazing thing. But one of the things that Graymere has been very much involved in is the training of gospel preachers in India. And this is another picture that you've seen often of the National Bible College in Chennai, which is in the southern part of India. Very much like Florida, palm trees and things of that nature. This is one of the buildings that they have a lot of their classes in. That's part of the school as well. It's always a joy to be able to meet with the students and teach some classes while we're there. They are sending preachers all over India, also into Bangladesh and Nepal and Burma. So it truly is a national school, teaching these young men about a 3-year program and then maybe a 4-year program if they get the master's and go in other places. But the National Bible College, this year's theme was Educating for Eternity, and we also had a lectureship there. This is in the new building there in Sinagar. Good attendance for the lectureship as well as for their periods of worship. And this was my driver. He picks up Solomon every morning about 5 o'clock, takes him to the television station where he has a 30-minute program with a potential viewing audience of 90 million people. Unbelievable. He does that every day. But Solomon let me borrow his chariot and driver for part of the time I was there, and he was taking us around. One of the things that Linda Smith, who's here tonight, has done is to try to help some of the Christian women help the family financially. And so George and Twilla's daughter, Linda, kind of had the idea also of coming up with $300, give it to a lady, a Christian lady, and let her get a business started. And when she makes enough money, she gives that $300 back, and it's given to somebody else, another lady. She starts a business. When she makes it, she gives the money back, and they just keep passing it down. And it has helped some of those families. And this was a house that we went to where there's one family. In fact, Sister Hill has helped support this particular work. But Linda was meeting with the lady there. They were Asian background, and they were preparing food for the Asians. Believe me, you did not want to smell it. It did not smell any better than it looked. But they love it, and she has a good business selling whatever that is. but she does well with it. It's some kind of sauerkraut. That's closest I can come to it. But she's done well, and her husband teaches in the college, but we visited with them a little while also. Then on our way to Tripathi, where the largest Hindu temple in India is located. That's not it, but then kind of a serendipity. We didn't really want to go to this place, but Vijay Kumar, the preacher we were visiting, was insisting that we go see this school. It's a government school. His wife is now the principal of the school. She was one who got a grant, I guess you'd call it, and she chose to take her money and go back to school, and now she's the principal of this school. These are all orphan children. It's an all-girls school. They live there. They're either orphans or one parent child that cannot take care of them. About 200 of them, maybe 240. And so we did go there, and this is Vijay Kumar's wife, the principal of the school, faculty members. But the amazing thing about it is Vijay, who is the preacher that Graymere works with and supports, is able to go there, and they've given Bibles to these children. And this is really a fascinating thing because this is a Hindu government school, but we're putting Bibles in it and teaching these children the Bible. And they live here. It's a very large facility. That looks dark on my screen. I hope you can see it, but many of them sleep on the floor, and they have a little locker there and a bucket for bathing and so forth, and that's about it. But they have good meals there. But this is something that really kind of touched my heart. Linda and Brother Wilder, who went on this trip, they were needing a sewing center, and so Linda and Brother Wilder raised the money to buy these sewing machines. And they named it after Johnny, my son, who I'm sure most of you know died recently. And so it was a very touching and appreciative thing that they have named this sewing center, the Johnny Vaughn Sewing Center. Hilda and I certainly appreciated that. But it's helping these girls to learn a trade, something that they can, after they leave the school, maybe can get a job sewing and things of that nature. Of course, as always, as you travel, you run into the cows or whatever. Our next stop was at VJ's South India School of Preaching, which we also help some. But in this building is where they meet. And on the first floor, there are several blind people that VJ and his wife have converted. And some of you have helped these blind people. I know Ken's son took his piggy bank and helped some of these blind folks. And they're still living in part of that building. And then upstairs, we were meeting to have a meeting that night with not only the blind people, but a good many others. And we had a good period of study. And then the next morning, VJ's wife and daughter and son and the daughter's friend came to meet us. The daughter there in the blue dress was adopted by VJ and his wife when she was a baby. They don't know where she came from. They don't know her birthday. They made up a birthday. They made up a name. And they took her when she was a baby and have raised her and just doing a marvelous job. And that boy there standing on the right in this picture is named Timothy. And when he was just born, we were holding a meeting there, and they brought the baby out and handed it to me, handed me that little boy when he was a baby and said, "Name him." So he's Timothy. And now Timothy's taller than John, but he's a fine young man, helps his daddy. But then they wanted to take us out to one of these businesses that Linda had kind of helped them get started. But more than that, as we were going down this very primitive slum area, really, and you see that house, and the lady has the sign out there in front advertising her beauty parlor. We couldn't cross. It was so dirty and wet there. We went a long way. Finally came back around, and there's the sign. And this is actually two pictures. The man was a denominational preacher, and VJ converted him. And if you look at the sign at the top of that picture, it says, "Church of Christ meets here." And that's his office, and it's no wider than even my short arms. You could touch from one wall to the other. But that's where he has his study. He has a few books there, and the church now meets in that place. And the lady was giving Linda a demonstration of her beauty parlor. I don't know whether Linda really appreciated that or not, but but she got it. But walking through that area, some of them cook outside, as you can notice there. And that little ramp going up in the building, by the way, is put there so they can roll their motorbike or motorcycle into the house at night to protect it. And again, just traveling to the next place, you see all these vehicles so crowded. And as we went along, we came to this place where the ladies were out doing their laundry. And all of that expanse of land that you see there is a riverbed. And in the rainy season, and when they have rain, they have rain. That's completely covered as a river. But as time goes on, it begins to dry up. Now it's down to the section that you see there. But they are out washing their clothes and probably some of their dishes in that running water. But we came to this little village church building, and this preacher standing here. VJ has helped and did convert him. One of the wells, I think Linda helped them get. And little church building there, and the preacher meets there. And they took in this elderly lady. She was a Hindu. But when she became a Christian, her family disowned her. They wouldn't have anything to do with her. So the preacher and his wife built a little room onto the side of the church building for her to live in. And the little church there has tried to take care of her. But as we were leaving, she reached up and wanted to touch Linda, and very grateful for what's being done for her. But when you become a Christian, sometimes it's kind of rough, and you may be disowned by your family. But again, just traveling from place to place, We came to another area where Vijay Kumar has had a congregation. They started out in a thatched roof, little hut. Now they do have a good place to meet. This is Vijay Kumar, and I think this the man with him is his cousin. He's a doctor, a medical doctor, but he took off a week just to go with us, led singing and helped us in many ways. But the crowd, the people were coming in for us to have a service there, and Brother Wider taught a lesson, and I had the opportunity to do that. And then named another baby. I don't know what I named her. They told me what to name this one. After repeating it several times, I was able to get it out. But it was some Indian name this time. Ashley was the first part of it. But that's kind of a special time. That's the doctor and his wife who were letting me do that. Linda taught the ladies outside on this occasion also. And then this is when Brother Wider, who is an elder of the church, the men of this congregation said, "Would you teach us about elders?" And they were so excited. And he did a great job teaching on New Testament elders. And they determined that they were going to study more and try to develop elders in that congregation. Then again, as always, just like we do, they were having a meal afterwards. Rice, beautiful rice fields in India. And it's rather strange how they take care of the rice. That piles of rice are just out in the highway. And they put it out there and then they winnow it. You read about winnowing the wheat in the Bible, and they have these containers and they throw it up and the wind blows the chaff away. But they just do that right out in the highway. But the reason we were there is because there were several to be baptized. We went down kind of under that bridge. And again, this whole expanse normally is a river, but it's beginning to dry up. But there was still a good bit of water there. And I think there were seven who were baptized. It really turned out to be a beautiful site for baptisms. Then we went on to still up to Nellore, a little north of where we had been. And they always want to try to greet you. And they, again, as they have in the past, rented this marriage hall. And we had several hundred people who gathered that day, had an all-day meeting. This was just kind of getting ready for it. But it's a great opportunity to teach many that are from denominational backgrounds, as well as some of the brethren. And this is Mohan, the preacher that we help. And Vijay was interpreting for me. And had an opportunity to teach a couple of hours on the New Testament church. And they're interested. They want to learn. So that was a good opportunity. And then eating again. They enjoy that like we do. If those children eat all of that. But after having a break for lunch, we'd go back inside. And the men met inside for this next session. And I taught a little bit. And then Linda taught the ladies outside under a kind of a tent affair. So we had good lessons for sessions for the men and the women. Linda, my cousin, is on the left. On the left in that picture. Prasanthi is one that also started a business. And some of you helped her buy sewing machines. And she's the lady that teaches sewing to ladies in the area, and then after the sewing classes, she teaches Bible classes and has converted several people. The one in the white there is a nurse. She actually teaches nursing in one of the universities there. But she came up to me on this trip, and she said, when I was a little girl, and you were naming that little boy, the one that I said was Timothy, she said, I was a little girl. And I was scared to death of you. So that was a strange encounter. But this is the daughter of the preacher there. And she's just a fine girl. I'll tell you just a little bit about what happened. She's a college student. Now, you just think about as Christians what you have to go through sometime. She would be taken to school, to college each day. in one of those little three-wheel carts, and there was a driver that took her each day. One day he kidnapped her, and they didn't know where she was for days and days. Finally, the police, having been paid a tremendous bribe, found her and brought her home. But she suffered greatly, to put it mildly, and has been in the hospital. And now the family is receiving calls in the middle of the night threatening to kill them. For what reason, I don't know. But, you know, some of our brethren really do suffer some difficult things. And the family just finally had to leave town for a good while. The mother and father have come home. The daughter has not yet. They've left her in a safe place. But I got an email from them a day or two ago, and they just said, if we have to die, we'll die. But they're going to continue to try to do the Lord's work. But this is where the church meets. They used to have a very nice place to meet, but they were driven out of that. And Prasanthi has her sewing center there, some of the things she makes, and teaching the ladies. And again, some of you folks bought some of these sewing machines to make this possible. But they really do some beautiful work. Even some of the Hindus are coming there and learning. And Linda has worked with them so much, so the graduating class, Linda was giving out the diplomas to them. Just another typical scene. You see the cows and various other things all mingling together in the streets. We were coming back to the house, and the lady was ironing, and that looked like a big, heavy iron. And I went over to her and asked her if I could pick it up. And as she opened it, it has coals in it. And it was heavy. I don't know how that woman could pick it up. It was really heavy to me and hot. The handle was hot. But she was really going to town ironing with that. That night, we went out into a very remote village. They had a little church building, but it was so hot, we just met outside. But a lot of those who accept Christianity in India are very poor people in the villages, and there are town churches, but this was one of the village. But we met outside because it was so hot, and had an opportunity. Many of them sat on the ground, some of them in some chairs, but we had a good meeting. It was late at night, and often these village meetings are late because the men work in the fields, and you have to wait for them to get through with work, but they'll come. And we had some good meetings, and Prasanthi, with her sewing ministry, some of the money that she receives, she buys saris for some of the poor ladies, and she and Linda were passing out some of those. She uses what she gets well, and they buy Bibles, and they let us pass out some of the Bibles that they bought from that sewing center. Again, no matter where you go, they're going to have a meal. But we enjoyed being there with those folks that night. Then the next night, we went out to another village pretty late, and it's called the Circus Village, and the people who live there are circus people. And they live in very, very primitive. I don't know whether that shows up much or not, but that's where some of them live, in that hut. Now, I hadn't even started preaching when they went to sleep, but that little girl was kind of really next door and sleeping on that hard concrete. But it was late, and she was already asleep when we started. But Prasanthi and Mohan had gotten rice, these bags of rice that you see stacked up there, as well as saris and Bibles. And with their money, they had bought these things to give to these poor people. And so we were passing some of those things out there that night as well. But as we were leaving that little village, we passed this house. And this was out on somebody's porch. And this is that monkey god that they worship as Hindus. Again, Hinduism is just a completely idolatrous religion. They bow down to idols. you wonder, you know, don't they have more sense than that to make something and then bow down to it? But they do. Then we were on our way to two more places, Gudar and Sulipet. We got to Gudar. We met with some of the preacher and his family there. It was not a time to have a service during the week, but we met with them. And I didn't take that picture, obviously, but I just wanted to show that Sulipet is their rocket center. And they've become very proficient in this science. And this is the again, you've seen this many times. This is where the children's home is, the tribal children, and we always want to go out and see how things are going there and see the children that are there. And they always seem happy, and they love to sing, and they always sing some songs for us. And I think Jonathan had suggested that they needed some blankets, Jonathan, but he wanted me to show you this picture that he got the blankets for the children, thanks to you and your help with that. The children have a locker of sorts, but they didn't really have enough. But since this picture was taken, I think Linda has already provided, or Linda or Jackie provided enough lockers now for all of the children there. So that's taken care of. But again, some of you gave me some money for Bibles, and I shared some of that with Dana Jaya here in Sulipet, and those are some Bibles they bought. Just as we have an American Bible Society, they have an Indian Bible Society, and we can buy Bibles over there in their language, a lot cheaper than we can take them over there. So he was taking care of that. But this is at the children's home. They line up to eat. If you see that lady's head bending over, and right behind it, there's kind of a pot, a tub. And after they eat, the children go over there. It has some water in it, and they rinse their little plate out in it, in that same water. And then they line up when it's time to eat, very orderly. And seems like to me they have about the same thing every time. That's some rice and something to go on it, and some eggs and some bananas and so forth. But that's what the children have to eat. This is Dana Jaya. Dana Jaya was of an upper class, very, very unusual for an upper caste Indian to become a Christian, but Dana Jaya did. And his parents basically disowned him when he did. They're Hindus. But since then, he has converted his father after a number of years. Has not converted his mother yet, but he's working on that. But he's a good man. And this is right next to the children's home. And all of this was flooded, and these mud houses were just washed away. They've rebuilt a few things here, but you can see how very, very poor this area is. But when that flood came, they let these people who lived around there come to the children's home and stay there for days and days until the water receded, and they gave them some supplies, food and clothing and things of that nature. So the church was being very, very benevolent there. Jackie's sister, Judy Rummage, and her husband, Randall, had been in the dairy business, and they provided two water buffalo so the children could have fresh milk. This is a new church building. I may have shown you some of this last time I was with you, but Dana Jaya built this building. This is the building that, while it was under construction, he put up a little lean-to, hardly a tent, but he had to sleep out there at night to keep people from coming stealing the materials or tearing down what they had already built. So he just had to sleep on the ground to protect it. But now they do have a nice building in which to meet. They had been driven out of at least four other rented places by Hindus and others. And finally, they got a little piece of land here, and it's thankful they have a good place to. Do you remember me telling you about the two girls that were driven out when they became Christians, and how their parents, who were Hindus, beat them? I don't mean spank them. They kicked them. They beat them, literally, and threatened them never to go back to the church. But the girls ran away from home, you remember. Some of you will remember. And the police came and threatened Anajaya, the preacher, thinking that he had the girls. He did not. He didn't know where they were. They were finally found with some of their friends, girlfriends. But they were taken back home and put under house arrest by their parents. Finally, the other girl married, and this girl just was insistent, and so she comes to worship. And she was wanting to go to school, and some of you gave the money for her to go to school and go to college. And she's getting a degree in physics, I believe it is. Smart girl. And wants to finally work in that rocket center. But one of the things that was so, she was happy to see us, but you see the book she's holding. Her parents think that's her school book. But what she has done is she still needs some money. She wants to go on and get her master's degree. Several of you have already helped her and said that maybe you could help her again. So I'm just letting you know where the situation is. She wants to go on and get her master's. But her, what they think is her school book, she has photocopied the Bible. And what's in that book is the Bible. And her parents don't know it. And so she can study it at home, and she brings it to worship with her. Just an amazing story. She's a fine, smart girl. And I noticed that after we were all leaving, she stayed around to help straighten things up and clean up things after everybody was leaving. And she's just a fine girl, smart girl, and so appreciative. Well, I think I already showed you the Bibles. Then we went out to another place. Tada is the name of it. There's a congregation out here, and Danajaya wants to move the children's home to this place and also use it as a place where the church can meet. I hope he can do it. He's getting some help on that. He bought that land years ago, and now it's worth a whole lot more than it was. But they were going to have the groundbreaking for it that day. The church would meet, and the children's home would be there, and they set up this tent, and we had a devotional time of singing and Bible reading and prayers. And then the groundbreaking. Actually, the man in the bottom left-hand corner, Ray Hart, has raised a lot of money, is trying to get this done. And so he was breaking the ground, and then the rest of us also broke a little bit of the ground to start that new building. And this was a picture that I just got a day or two ago showing how the work is progressing. And if they're ever able to finish it, it'll be three stories. The church will meet on the ground floor. The girls will sleep on the second floor. The boys on the third floor. And you say, well, why don't they just stay where they are? It's because a lot of those children are growing up, and the government is beginning to put pressure on children's homes like that, saying that the boys and the girls need to be separated. And they do. And where they are now, that's not very feasible. And they'll probably use the facility they're using now as a place for widows to be taken care of. But anyway, this is progressing right well. It's good to see. And by the way, that's the same preacher that had to sleep while the church building was being built, had to sleep on the ground outside. He's having to do the same thing here. He goes out here and stays at night or has someone else do that. But when it's completed, the church will meet on the first floor, and as I just said, the second and the third. And Ray Hart is helping with that. And then this is another village area that we had gone in for the last year or two. We'd been meeting in that very primitive thatched roof church building, and they had one fluorescent light kind of hanging down just above. But they had a little bit of a pillars there. But thanks again to Linda Smith and the Woodson Chapel congregation in Nashville. They have built them a building. And so we were meeting there that Sunday morning. Well, we'd already met in Sulipet, and then we came out and had a service here. Pandora is the name of this place. And again, scripture reading before the ribbon cutting. They had it fixed up very nicely. And since Linda had done so much of the work encouraging Woodson Chapel to provide the funds to do this, she did the ribbon cutting for that new church building. And then we had a good crowd that came together. First time in their new building. Just think, after meeting in what they had been in for years, to finally have a nice place to meet. And so we had a good service there that day as well. And they're looking to the future. They already built a staircase to a second floor, if ever they're able to do that. And then you see on the right side there that column, that post with all the speakers on it. So when they have a service, everybody in the community has that service. They broadcast it as far as they can with those loudspeakers. So they've already prepared for that as well. So it's good to see things progressing like that. But you see the two buildings where they had met for so long, and now they have a nice building. And you say, well, do they really need all of that? Well, church buildings, are just like ours, is just a tool. But the denominations in India are building some very nice buildings, and they attract the people. And when our brethren are having to meet in thatched roof places like that, it's kind of hard to at least attract people to come for the first time. Once they come, they can learn the truth, but it's been kind of a difference in where they've been able to meet with the denominations and our brethren. Now, this is probably the nicest church building, one of them in all of India. This is back in Chennai where Brother Peter Solomon is, and where we were going to have the graduation and the lectureship. And these were some of the students that were graduating this year. There are some girls that are attending the school now, and they're learning some trades as well as the Bible. And then they're turning out preachers that are going into many places. Brother Peter Solomon, just a great man. He was here and talked to some of our elders a week or so ago. It was good to see him. We enjoyed having him in our home for a couple of days. And Emmanuel was translating. They let me speak to the graduating class and the group that was assembled. And then passing out the diplomas to the students. And they'll be scattering out all across India and other places. And Russell Bell and another preacher named John O'Neill, as each graduate goes through the line, they give them a communion tray. And what John O'Neill is holding is a collection stick. They don't pass a basket up and down the aisles. They have a little, on a stick, there's a bag hanging, and they just walk around through the crowd. Most of them are sitting on the floor in a lot of these places, and they just take the bag around. So they give them a collection stick, they call it, and a communion tray. So as these men go out to preach, they've got that to start with. They can take up the Lord's Supper and a collection anyway. So that's a nice gift that they give to them each year. These are a few of the preachers that we support from various places around India. And it's always good at the lectureship to be able to be with some of them. These are two men that are on the faculty at the college that we support. Brother David Sagayam. And these men, they're 14 faculty members, and all they get is $50 a month to teach in the National Bible College. Hopefully we can get that increased a little bit before too long. But those are good men. But this this is our chariot, and boy, you three people fills it up. Especially three people like me. We fill it up. But it's kind of fun to go around in. It's better than any ride at the circus or the fair. It scare the life out of you sometime, but it gets you there. And you see all kind of sights as you go through the streets of India. This is one of the gods that they worship. You've seen these pictures like this many times, but again, it just floors me how they can worship things like that. Then quickly we went over to Arakonam, and this is Brother David Sagayam. I could not begin to tell you how many people that man has converted. And Barry's Chapel is now supporting him, but we still work with him. And he has a preacher training school, and these were graduating this year, and their wives were there that day also. But they were nice to let me pass out their certificates to them. But these men have been well trained by Brother Sagayam, and they'll do a lot of good work. We went back to the church building that night. It was a Wednesday night, and had a Wednesday night Bible study there. And again, money that some of you gave to buy Bibles, I had asked these men, when you get the Bible, send me a picture. And so they have, and many, many Bibles that you've helped provide that'll be given to some of these people who never had a Bible before. So that's always thrilling to be able to do that. Brother Sagayam has baptized literally hundreds and hundreds of people. And he follows up with them. He doesn't just leave them, but continues to teach them. Well, from there we took a flight to Hubli, but this airline, if you're ever in India, don't fly it. They said it was a cheap airline, but I didn't know how cheap. It delayed a whole day. It just decided it wasn't going to fly the day we were supposed to. So we waited a day to finally get to Hubli. Coming in, that red clay as you come into Hubli. Got there and they met us at the airport and put the garlands on us as they always do. And the taxi had this sitting up on the dashboard. By the way, one night Linda and some of the girls in the congregation there were coming back. Linda had been teaching them, and the girls got to singing hymns and things. And it just about drove this Hindu driver. He was, I don't guess they crossed themselves like the Catholics, but he was doing some kind of motions to ward off what they were doing. But he had that in his taxi. But he did have this on his sun visor that I thought was really neat. He said, "I believe in love at first sight because I'm loving my mom since I opened my eyes." I thought that was pretty good. But then we got out to the church building the next day, and Graymere helped him build this building a few years ago. And they have a good congregation there. And that was Sunday morning. And when we drove up, they had all these children and some of the teenagers lined up in two lines. And they wanted us to walk through it up to the church building. Well, as we did, they had flower petals, and they were having a big time throwing those flower petals all over us. It was just a fun way to greet us. But I had my pockets full of flowers and hair, and it was quite an experience after that was over. Nagabhushnam is that man's name. He is as fine a gospel preacher as I've ever met in all of my life. He has literally converted and baptized some 10,000 people. That's not an exaggeration. He has walked hundreds of miles to preach and to teach. And he has a preacher training school. And in the white shirt there is Joel Providas that we work with, and his wife and his two sons. Nagabhushnam, the man I was just showing you, taught this preacher. Then he picked his wife out for him. And then he married them. And then he came and helped them build the church building there. And then this is the man that was living in this 9x9 room for 2 years. And some of you were very generous to make it possible for them to have a house to live in. But they had been driven out of their house, rented house, by neighbors and so forth. And they'd been having to live in this, those two teenage boys and a man and his wife living in that. It was just unbelievable. They couldn't even put a bed inside of there. So cramped. So there was one cot in there, and the rest would have to sleep on the floor. And there was another little area where they set up a kitchen, and that's the way they've been for 2 years, just crowded. And that's the little shed. But because of you, many of you, and the Northview congregation, they're getting a house. The church had enough land there to build this on, and it's going to really be nice for them. I was standing up on top of the church building looking back to take that picture. First thing they did, however, when the brethren got this land, was to build a baptistry. They built a baptistry before they built a meeting house or anything else, and they were using it. And Linda's helped them get a well there for some water. But they're going to have a nice house. But as we were walking through it, just this beginning of it, Joel just broke down and started crying. And they just wanted you folks who've helped them to know how much they appreciate it. They never dreamed they would have anything as nice as they're going to have. And just cried literally tears of joy to do that. Then we went inside for the worship. Nagabhushnam was translating for us. As always, the women on one side, the men on the other side. The boy in the green and red striped shirt is one of the preacher's sons. The one in the red shirt is another one. So those two big boys, along with their mother and daddy, for a long time have been living in that 9x9 or 10x10 room. This is Joel's wife. She is one fine preacher's wife. She helps him so much. And just the colorful saris as they come together to worship. And Linda taught ladies' classes there. It's always good when Jackie and Linda and others can go to other ladies to teach the ladies, because that doesn't happen much. I just included that. I thought that little fella's really dressed up, isn't he? And then they always want to put the garlands around you. But this is what I thought was so unique. They wanted to put it around the preacher and his wife. They've been through a lot. And some of the members came up and said, thank you for helping them get a place to live. And they love Joel and his wife. Joel actually converted every member of that congregation. When he went there, there was practically nothing. And he has taught and baptized all of these people. They always want to have a group picture. So the ones that hadn't left, we did that. And then, again, you know, you look at that ground around there, it looks very primitive and rocky, and it is, but that's a good neighborhood in that city. But they were going to have a big meal, too, afterwards, and had set up an awning there. Then they took us to the train. We got there in time to catch our train, but the train was 2 hours late, but we were there. But I thought this was interesting. At the train station, they had this program set up to give immunization for polio to children there, ages 0 to 5, right in the train station. If you had never ridden a train in India, you've missed something. But we had to wait a couple of hours, but they stayed there right there with us until the train came. Or we wouldn't know which train to get on, at least I wouldn't. But when we got on the train, they're quite unique and have an upper bunk, but Joel's wife fixed. We were going to have basically an all day ride to go to Goa, and she fixed us some hard boiled eggs and boiled potatoes and some bread and bananas. It was just really nice of her. And when we got to Goa, the brethren there met us, took our bags. Goa's right on the sea coast, the Arabian Sea, beautiful sea, but the church building is in a rather primitive area. They've been building a road here for years, and the church meets back in this area. Actually, Graymere helped them build this building several years ago, and the church still meets there. O.J. Rowell is the preacher there. Brother Wider was preaching that Sunday. And then we went down to the ocean, to the Arabian Sea, for some baptisms. Beautiful sight. They kind of wait until the wave comes along just right. But this one kind of got the best of them. I wanted to show you this picture. This is O.J. Rowell, the preacher's son. I remember when he was just practically a baby. Now he's a doctor. He's finished his medical school. And his daddy picked a wife out for him. And they had just gotten married, and she was just being baptized that day. Then they rented a big hall in town. They had banners all over Goa advertising the meeting. And so we were meeting in this big hall that night for a meeting. Had a pretty good crowd there. And the women in their beautiful saris had gathered, and Prince did some of the translating for us. But you'll notice this banner. They had banners like that talking about baptism, salvation, and so forth. Very scriptural all around the hall. They also had books out for them, free to give literature. They had really worked hard to set this up. Some of the children sang, some of the Sunday school children. And then this is just O.J. Rouse's first grandbaby and his wife that Linda was holding there. But we had a good meeting in Goa. But I want to thank Graymere again. That's the first time I ever went to India, that over 30 years ago. I tell you, going to India will turn your head white. But it's been great. I am so thankful for it. But finally, after really some wonderful visits with our brethren in India, we started back home, and as always, I was happy to come back home. But Lord willing, and you brethren are willing, I hope someday to be able to go back and visit with our brethren there. But all that's going on, and really I've just kind of touched the hem of the garment, is good work. It's really good, and the church is growing. And on behalf of our brethren in India, and they've asked us to do this, thank you. Thank you for your help. Thank you for supporting them. Thank you for helping the gospel be spread in India. And I hope it can be done for years to come. In India, we, of course, just preach the same gospel that we preach here. That's the amazing thing about the gospel. It meets the needs of people anywhere in the world, any tribe, any nation, any tongue, rich, poor, bond free, educated, uneducated. The gospel is for all. We sing a song, don't we, like that? The gospel is for all. And we always try to extend the invitation of the Lord when we teach and preach in India. And we do that, of course, when we get together also. You never know when there's someone who's ready to obey the gospel. Maybe even tonight, someone in this fine assembly who has studied it. You've heard good lessons from this pulpit, from Andrew and others, and in classes, and in your own private Bible study. And you're ready to confess Jesus as Lord. Turn from your sins in repentance, and be buried with Him in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. Never be a better time. If you are ready to obey the Lord in that respect, and we can help you, we'd love to do that tonight. Would you come as together we stand and sing?